Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Sophie Jaffe, who's one of the awesome writers coming tonight to the Colony Club in D.C. for Interloop's Literary Cornucopia. Sophie, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be talking with you.
Where are you calling in from? You said New York?
I am. I'm calling in from New York, New York.
Awesome.
The big scary apple itself. That's right.
Well, I'm glad you're getting out of there and coming down to...
I know. Thank God. Thank God.
How did you first hear about it? Do you remember?
I first heard about it through a friend of mine, Kelly, who told me of its awesomeness, actually. So it seemed like an amazing group to be a part of, and to a perfect opportunity to share stories and check out the scene.
So that's how you heard about it. But have you ever been before? This is the first time.
This is my first time, but it seems incredibly cool. I like the fact it's called the Inner Loop. I like being a part of anything that's inner, and it makes me feel nice and selected and elitist for a little bit. You know, writers are freaky types, so we love it when any group accepts us.
What exactly will you be reading? They said that the founders were saying that there's 10 readers, there's one featured reader, and then there's 9 other readers. There's about, they try to mix up the genres. There's like, you know, there's 3 fiction, 3 poetry, 3 nonfiction. Which group will you be in, and what are you sharing?
Yes, it says on the thing for some reason nonfiction, but I am doing fiction. I'm reading from my second book, Crown of Stars, and it's part of a trilogy, and it's sort of own genre. I call it knife edge reality because it's what reality might look like on the other side of the knife. So it's a sort of combo of horror, thriller, paranormal, Rosemary's Baby meets Game of Thrones kind of vibe to it. And I will be reading a section involving a very mundane situation where somebody travels on the subway, as I think most of us do, and things go very awry.
Man, you just hooked me with that whole thing. I'm a huge, you know, fan of that exact genre, so I'm excited.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Oh, great. Oh, yeah. I know it's...
Give us a little premise. You just gave us references and sort of the themes and genre and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
But what's sort of like, you know, give me just like a little log line premise.
Sure, of course. Well, I'll sort of start with the first. The premise of the first book is throughout the ages, there are various women who are able to bear and conceive divine beings. The last known was Mary of Nazareth. But because the children they bear have the power to destroy the world and the universe, an ancient entity known as the Sickle Man has risen up, and his mission is to go through the ages and to slaughter the vessels before they have a chance to give birth. And then we sort of cut to modern day, where there's a new vessel who lives in New York. And in the meantime, there seems to be a serial killer in women in Manhattan, because women in various states of undress are found in their locked apartments with ancient and strange symbols sort of carved into their flesh. So that's the first book that sort of sets up what happens with that. And then the second book carries on to where our heroine is now pregnant, and she has to deal with the consequences of that, and it's tied in with the whole medieval theme.
Gotcha.
Which makes more sense when you read it.
Oh, I'm sure. Wait, remind us. remind me what you said. The ancient being is what, the Sickle Man?
Oh yeah, the Sickle Man. The Sickle Man. That's right. And he, the way he, because he isn't really human, the way he embeds himself is by sort of eating people's essences, which he smells and tastes as colors. So he's waiting until the vessel turns a particular shade of red to strike. I kind of wanted to combine everything. I love the idea of things not being what they seem, in a whole other world under the one that we know, you know, and how everything has implications. And perhaps, like, you see somebody on the street and you think, you dismiss them as like a crazy homeless person, but what if they're a completely different entity? And I love that sense of lurking horror and ominous things. Not really, that always gets me going, honestly. So, you know, I wanted to try and take everything I loved and sort of put it into one book.
Why do you think that sort of supernatural, even almost historic, mythological, biblical, sometimes with Rosemary?
Yes,
why do you think that's exactly. Why do you think that's so much freakier than just some like everyday kind of slasher killer kind of thing?
Oh, because it has roots in reality. Because you can't really disprove it. Because if you think about it, religion in itself is just so freakish and so bizarre. And because there's a part of our mind that sometimes you do see things in the corner of your vision and or something might happen that seems too coincidental that you just can't make sense of it with your sort of logical brain. And then there's a part of your sort of monkey brain that knows that something is off. You know, when you walk into a house that has really weird energy or you meet someone and all logic says, no, this person is fine, but you know deep down they're not. There's a whole, sometimes you just catch the sort of faint wisps of shadows, and you know that there's a whole other world and life that we perhaps are not seeing. So I think everyone has that sense of it. That's why I think the ghost story is there for us to keep us in check, to keep us aware.
Absolutely.
There might be something else there.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir. I'm loving every second of this. We can't wait to hear the passage at that interloop. Tell us a little. So that was a little about the event itself and what you're going to be reading. But tell us a little bit more about you and your background. You were born in South Africa, but made your way to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Explain.
That's right. I was born in South Africa. I'm fourth generation South African. Come from a sort of strong liberal political fighting family. Apartheid was still on in South Africa. So my folks moved to Atlanta, Georgia, until I was 11 and Mandela was released around that time, which you can then work out my age immediately. But whatever. So then my parents decided to move back to South Africa, and they're very sort of involved in various processes there. And I grew up there until I was in my 20s, and I went back to the States and ended up doing a master's in musical theater writing, which is the scariest art form of all, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The most terrifying people you ever meet, and and really, really scary stuff. And then from there, I went and I worked as a teaching artist, and then I was a legitimate dungeon master. So not the fun ones with a whip, but the ones that I wrote an online internet game. Created monsters and got a real taste for the medieval, created what I call like medieval-y as opposed to actually medieval, what people think the medieval world is as opposed to what it actually is. But I created so many fun monsters, I had a blast. And then I decided that though I was getting musicals produced, I wasn't making any money. And so the logical thing to do was to write a series of novels, because surely that would be a lucrative way to go. And just I temped and lived on savings and wrote, you know, took the next 4 years to write the first book. I always wanted to write so like a really good, almost like a literary scare. Like I wanted smart readers. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just a potato chip books, you know, the ones that they're addictive, but after you kind of want to purge and have a shower. I wanted it to be for people who really, you know, that I wanted there to be layers and interest and intrigue. And I had dated in New York for years, and that is a really terrifying thing to do. So I had plenty of fabulous material. And I think it was just really, I've always written kind of psychopaths very well. I've always been sort of fascinated by that. I write the serial killer in second person narrative, so you, the reader, are the killer. And I think there's a real power in that, and I think there's a real pleasure in getting to, you know, stalk around the city, just being pure id, and really delighting in all sorts of terrible things. Really, a big catharsis.
That's an interesting way to approach it. I like that you're writing in that tense.
Oh.
That's great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's my mom is always very distraught that I write serial killers so well. She's always like, why? Where do they go so wrong?
Yeah, I don't
know. To know why.
I don't know what that says about you.
I'm sure you know that says plenty about me, but it's all too late. It's all too late, you know. As I tell my husband, like, you're married to me now. It's too late now.
Yep.
So, yeah.
You're locked in.
Locked in, man. Locked in to, you know, just keep me happy and it all will be well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's a nice disguise. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm like kind of, I don't look like I write fiendish things, and I have like a little toddler, and, you know, I can lead quite a suburban life here. So it's really fun to know that there's a whole other side of people who can, you know, write about murderous things and serial killers. And I think a lot of, I think honestly, a lot of women have that. They have the real darkness, but they don't get to explore it. You know, I don't know if it's encouraged or not. So it's really fun to be able to do it.
Well, we're really glad that you're exploring it, and we can't wait to hear it. I guess sort of in closing, why should our listeners come out if they've heard this? Give them a little final teaser.
Oh, my God, because it's a Tuesday, and you know what you want to do on a Tuesday evening? You want to actually sit back and let a story take you to another place and be on the edge of your seat. You find your palms are sweating and your heart is racing, and you're not sure if you want it to go on or not, but you just need to know what happens. And then you get a big drink afterwards. You're like, and let's give the listeners an opportunity to come up to me and say, as so many have done after they've heard me read, what the hell is wrong with you?
That's the perfect place to leave it. Sophie, you are awesome, and we can't wait to see you out there.
Jason, thanks so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure. I can't tell you. I really appreciate it, and I really hope to see people out there. I'm really excited to meet all the fabulous, freaky DCers, for sure.
There's plenty of them down here. All right, cool. Thank you so much. Sophie Jaffe.
Oh, thank you.
Sophie Jaffe on WTOP.